I need a mic here. There we go. Good morning. It's good to see y'all out this morning. Welcome to our annual Faith Promise Missions Conference. We are going to start with a song here this morning on the screen. I'm sure some of you probably do not recognize it. Hark the Master Calleth. It's to the tune of Onward Christian Soldiers. So if you know Onward Christian Soldiers, that is the same tune. So if you'll stand with me and we'll sing it together. Hark the Master Calleth. Let's sing this chorus together. While there's time, while there's time, we must tell the world of Jesus. Brother Rick Enterlock, would you open our service in prayer?
Lord Jesus, there is still time. You've given us today. We don't know about tomorrow. Lord, we thank you for this day. We ask that you will help us to be alert to opportunities to be your witnesses, alert to opportunities to bring a message. message of hope and everlasting life to those around us who are walking in darkness. Please bless this service and the one again this evening, the final two services for this missions conference. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Again, this is our annual Faith Promise Missions Conference. It started last night with our International Supper. If you missed our International Supper, then you missed a really good time. We had more than plenty of wonderful food to eat, but also we got to hear from Joe and Bonnie and Valentin, their ministry, and a message from Joe yesterday evening. And it was a blessing to hear about what Bibles International has been able to do in getting several entire translations. Is it six entire Bibles? And then how many New Testaments? Remember? There are quite a few. Over 30 New Testaments that they've now translated, and then many other portions of Scripture. And you have 47 projects currently. That's a lot. And praise the Lord for the opportunity that they have had to get the Word of God into the hands of people in a language that they understand and can read and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to teach others also. So vital. And so we really enjoyed hearing about what the Lord is doing, their ministry. Have we supported you for 10 years now? Has it been almost that long? Wow, that it doesn't. It all seemed like 10 years have gone by. But anyway, so they have a display back here on the right side. And if you want to stop and chat with them after the service, I know they'd love to talk with you. There are several samples of translations, the Bible, back there that they have. It's interesting to look at the different languages. Some of them you look at and go, is this a language? I mean, it's just chicken, you know. Anyway, it's a lot different, incredibly different than our language, and vitally important. So stop by and see them. Anyway, it was good to hear from them yesterday evening. If you missed Sunday school, you missed a good presentation from Brother Rick Interline, and got to hear what the Lord is doing, particularly in the Philippines through Grace Dillon Medical Missions. Continue to keep them in your prayers. On the back corner back here, I mentioned it last night, but there is a new missions display. There's a map back there. There are prayer cards for all of our missionaries. There is string that goes to where they are based in their mission. Hopefully that will, you'll take notice of that. Walk over, look at it, pray for those missionaries. Maybe you could pick a special one to sort of adopt, to pray for on a regular basis as your missionary. And I know Rick's string goes from his card to here in Florida where they live, but probably should have another string that goes from there over to the Philippines because that's where he is spending the majority of his missions work over in the Philippines now. And it was good to hear what the Lord is doing there and for the needs that they have as well. So thank you, Brother Rick and Becky, and keep them in your prayers if you would. So this morning we're going to hear from Brother John Lehman. He's the fellow up here on the front row. And anyway, he's going to share with us about his ministry. It's a little bit different. Hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you and an important one in several areas. So he'll be up. We'll have a video to show here in a few minutes, and then he'll be bringing the message this morning. And then I beg of you, please come back tonight. Okay, we do have a 6 o'clock service, and we have another missionary, Jimmy Pierre. All right, wave your hand, Jim. All right, Jimmy is going to be speaking in the service this evening. He is going to be sharing his love for the people of Haiti and the ministry that God has called him and his wife Rachel to there. She would be with him this morning, but they have a 2-week-old baby, and so she couldn't come with him today. And John's wife would be here too, but he had to fly in. He had other stuff going on. He managed to squeeze a flight in to make it in yesterday, and so we're so glad of that. But anyway, please come back tonight and hear what the Lord has laid on Jimmy's heart and the ministry that he's been called to. He has a display back there. If you see him and you see the display, you know the two go together. So that's, you can't miss the big picture of him and his wife Rachel back there on the display. It's a beautiful display. So, so take time to visit those if you would this morning. So let's see. Other announcements. I have several this morning. I am going to have to take a few minutes. You have an insert in your bulletin, okay? So if you have grabbed a bulletin, which I hope you did, you have an insert in the bulletin. If you didn't grab a bulletin, please grab one on your way out. The insert inside the bulletin says at the top, Missouri Avenue Baptist Church. No big surprise there. Under that, it says Faith Promise Missions Ministry for 2023 and 24. Okay, so this explains how we do worldwide missions at Missouri Avenue Baptist Church. We do something called Faith Promise, and that is our missions giving is separate from our general offering to the church. We keep it separate, and our missionaries are supported solely from the offerings that come into our missions fund. Okay. So when you give on Sunday or whenever, you need to designate on your check or on the envelope what amount of that will go to missions so that we know to put that, to designate that for our missionaries, okay? So at the bottom of the backside of that pamphlet that I told you about, the bottom backside, it says, on the bottom there, this was what used to be, we handed out as a faith promise card, but we don't do that anymore and we don't take those up. We base our goal on what comes in the month of May. However, I wanted to still put this in the pamphlet so to encourage you to pray and to ask the Lord for what he would have you to give to missions this coming year at Missouri Avenue Baptist Church. So it says here, my faith promise personal pledge. 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. In dependence upon God, I will pray for and give to world evangelism through Missouri Avenue Baptist Church so much each month or week. Now again, we don't take this up. We don't know what you put on there, if you wrote anything on there. All I ask is that you pray and ask the Lord what he would have you to give each month to the missions program of Missouri Avenue Baptist Church so that we can continue to support all those missionaries on that mission board back there that the Lord has given us and maybe others that we have the opportunity to do so if we continue to see the funds come in and maybe even more. Come in. Over the past several years, we have seen our missions budget grow a little bit every year. Every year, we have either met our goal or come extremely close to meeting our goal. This little thing that looks like a clock up here keeps track of how we're doing and reaching our missions goal. That is, if I remember to move it along, sometimes I forget for 3 months and it makes a big jump. But we made our goal actually a month early this past year for our missions ministry. And I do appreciate very much the giving of our church. I think for the size of our church, we give a considerable amount to missions to be able to support these missionaries. And I hope that also represents prayer support as well, because they don't just need our money. They need our prayers. They need our prayers because it is the Lord that changes hearts. It's the Lord that opens doors. It is the Holy Spirit that works in people's lives through the preaching of the Word of God. And so, please pray and ask the Lord what he would have you to give. Maybe you might be able to give a little bit more this year. We personally have upped ours a little bit here and a little bit there, and the Lord has continued to bless us personally and as a family, and the Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. The kingdom of God is made up of people who come to know Christ as Savior. And part of seeking first the kingdom of God is seeking souls for Jesus Christ. This ministry is part of that. Also, those tracts on the back table back there are part of that. Please, take them. Hand them out. Share with others what Jesus has done for you, because they need him just as much as you needed him and still do. So we have a mission here, and we have the privilege to partner with others around the world, represented by these flags up here in the countries that they're in, as they minister as well this morning. So please consider that prayerfully. Also on the back of this is a list of all our current missionaries, so that you can take that home. Maybe put it somewhere where you'll see it, so you can pray for them. Also, their email addresses, and our new directory has all of the birthdays and all of the missionaries and kids and all of that, and I'm sure they would love to get an email saying, happy birthday, we're praying for you at Missouri Avenue Baptist Church. I'm sure it would make their day. All right. So let's see, what else? Love offering. There's a plate on the back table back there. There's a sign that says, love offering for the missions conference. If you have received a blessing this weekend, I'm sure you have. Please be a blessing to our missionaries and their ministry to help provide for their needs by leaving a love offering in the plate back there. It'll be divided up between the four missionaries that we have with us here this week. So let's see. I have gift bags. Our ladies put, particularly Cheryl Vogt headed up, put some gift bags together for the missionaries this morning. The ladies got together back a month ago and made a bunch of homemade cards, and they actually do a pretty good job. And so they're in the bag along with some other stuff that was brought, and so I'm going to hand these out at this time before I forget. So, all right. So this says Rick and Becky Interlock. Joe and Bonnie Valentin. Jimmy and Rachel Pierre. And let's see, who does that leave? John and Susie. All right. And thank you all who have pitched in for that as well. So, let's see. Am I missing anything that was vitally important? I don't think so. All right. If I didn't, I'll come up with it later. All right. Let's sing another song. It's O Zion Haste. It's 430 in your hymn book, or you can look up here on the screen. If you can, please stand to sing with us. O Zion, haste. This chorus, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. Seated. At this time, Brother Lehman, would you need to introduce your video?
I'd be glad to.
Okay. All right. Come on.
Well, it's a privilege to be with you all. Thank you so much for this kind invitation. I've been privileged to have served in Greenville, South Carolina, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Lansdale, Pennsylvania. And then you'll be hearing a little bit more about that progression here in a 4-minute and 51-second video. So if you'd be willing to share that now, and then I'll come afterwards and flesh out a few more details. But thank you so much.
Go ahead and take. I can't. It won't mute, David. All right.
29 years ago, shortly after we moved to Greenville, South Carolina, I preached my first message at Hampton Park Baptist Church. It was taken from Proverbs 25:11, which says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." Shortly after that, I taught 2 counseling courses entitling them "Words Fitly Spoken" and a church member developed their first logo. In 2007 or 8, my 2 oldest daughters, Candace and Cassie, asked me to write a book for them on parenting, and I began composing a 22,000-word letter. It later became, "If a parent, you're a parent." After that, I wrote books on marriage, fitness, and encouragement. Little did I know then that those books would become the source for many of our mission trips, as I traveled many countries from those 4 topics. During these past few years, the trips have become more and more frequent, and this last year increased to the point that I used up all but 3 days of my vacation time to travel. The Lord has supplied funds for us to visit both our Hampton Park missionaries as well as going on trips that have been for seminars and training. For years now, I felt God impressing upon me that when I stopped ministering at Hampton Park on a full-time basis, that I should continue with this ministry as long as the Lord allowed. It was never if, but when. This past November, as I noted our travel schedule, I realized that my vacation time was filled and I had more vacations than I could keep. So I mentioned to our staff pastors last year that I believe the Lord was moving us in that way sooner than later. Several other factors contributed to this as well. Several years ago, we called our first counseling director. A few years before that, in one of our staff retreats, a fellow pastor mentioned that he'd like to be more involved in our missions program, which just recently culminated in him becoming our missions pastor. I believe that with these two men in these positions and our ever-increasing invitation, that it was time for us to redirect our ministry and launch Words That Is Spoken, a full-time ministry for missionaries and nationals. I had great support for this from our pastoral body, missions committee, and deacons. As someone reminded me, I started my life in the mission field at the age of 9 months, and it appears the Lord has allowed me to finish my ministry years on many mission fields as well. Words That Be Spoken will be multifaceted. My goal is to help in four specific aspects: counseling, whether instructing or in hands-on; encouraging, whether by teaching or being just that; shepherding, by filling homes on foreign fields while missionaries return on short furloughs; or in being available for pulpit supply when folks are in transition or simply need a break; or by pastoral training; and finally, teaching on marriage, parenting, fitness, or encouragement. I felt the Lord's hand upon us for 42 years when we began to help people, and I'm thankful that we can continue to do that as long as the Lord directs us through health and open doors. I'm just as thankful that I can minister this way and retain Greenville as my home and Hampton Park as my church. To begin this in 2024 means we have a station supply invite for South Africa, a teaching tour in several seminaries in India, merit seminars in Honduras and Germany, pastoral training in Australia, and counseling training in Brazil and Norway. WordsFitlySpoken.info is our website, and I'm looking forward to being able to have a schedule on our website that will let folks know where we'll be, which also will allow folks to invite us to help them with their needs. Our website will be used to present a ministry overview, show our travel itinerary, allow for scheduling awareness, accept pledges, make folks aware of our prayer requests, as well as a place for consistent communication. We all know the Lord owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and therefore we are thrilled to go into all the world as He directs us. As 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is He who called you, He also will bring it to pass." Along the way, though, I'm trusting Him for prayer and donor partners. Your investment in our lives will be a humbling privilege, and we want to be your ambassadors to places that you may not be able to go at this time. We are sent out from Hampton Park Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as one of their supported missionaries, and our mission board is EMU International, Evangelical Missions to the Unreached. Having been a church member and pastor at Hampton Park has been one of my greatest joys, and I trust through various means and ways to continue sharing this ministry as one of their missionaries for the day of Jesus Christ. I do thank my God upon every remembrance of you.
All right. Now let me see if I can take this back. There we go. All right, we're going to get to hear from Brother Lehman a little more. You have a PowerPoint presentation, and he'll be bringing the message in just a few minutes. And I've enjoyed, haven't got to spend a whole lot of time with him, but I've enjoyed what little we've had, picking him up at the airport and such. And I'm looking forward to what the Lord lays on his heart. But before we do that, let's sing another song. You can remain seated. This is entitled To the Regions Beyond. You probably can't see it too much, but words by A.B. Simpson. Most of you probably don't know who A.B. Simpson is. Miss Barbara, do you know who A.B. Simpson is? He's the founder of Christian Missionary Alliance, a denomination that is Miss Barbara was grew up in, similar to Baptist. But he was a preacher, and like 100 years ago. Several decades ago, and he wrote the words to this song that you're probably not that familiar with, but he was particularly strong in the area of missions and the need to get support missionaries, and worked very hard to get missionaries out of the world to preach the gospel. And so the words of this song was written by him, and Margaret May Simpson wrote the music, so I'm guessing maybe that was his wife. I don't know, but it's entitled To the Regions Beyond. So let's sing it together.
To
Amen. Amen. The children can be dismissed for children's church. Well, we don't have any this morning, do we? All right. We do have a little one in the nursery, I'm guessing, don't we? Damien's little girl's in the nursery this morning. I assume that because Jules is not sitting. She abandoned you, Dennis. But I think she's back in the nursery with Amira this morning. So we're glad to see that. At this time, Brother Layman, if you want to come on back up and share with us more about your ministry and what the Lord has laid on your heart today.
I do have a prayer card for my wife and I, and I'll be standing at the back, that back table there where there's a globe and some cards. If you'd like to stop by, I'd love to visit with you. Just the privilege of being part of this conference has been really a blessing. You're raising your hand. Okay.
It's just on the top, just a little switch on the top.
Oh, thanks. Okay. There we go. Thank you guys for saying that. I know that watching that little video must have seemed like taking a drink out of a fire hose. I'd like to flesh out two of the trips, if I could. First is from Australia. Last summer, we were there for a marriage and parenting seminar. And while there, in speaking with one of the Aussie leaders, he mentioned a very staggering statistic. There are 140 gospel-preaching churches, but only 40 of them have pastors. And so the thought that we share, as we talked about that, was that we would travel over there perhaps once a year and host pastoral training for them. And of course, Australia is a very large country, a large island, and it might be one city this year and then another city the next year. We'd let these 140 churches know of that occurring and then tell them what city we're going to be at if they're able to come. And we hope it can get into a rhythm where it's always the same week of the same month every year. The second I'd like to flesh out is the counseling training that's going to, Lord willing, take place in Norway. I've been part of an organization here in America called the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. And during my part of that, we have been trained to train others in counseling. Well, of course, for the longest time, that's been here in America. We've been training different ones in different sites. And now the thought and the plan is to be part of an organization called OIC. It stands for Overseas Instruction and Counseling. And with that organization, we would be able to go into countries and train nationals to then counsel and or even train their own folks. And so in Norway, the idea would be the same plan, is that we could go in 1 week of the same month each year and annually have that counseling training there, or we might move around. And as you can tell, we're praying about this and pursuing it. We've been given the open door right now to get into Norway, which was a pretty big deal. And several other Eastern European countries will allow us to come in and train. So those are the two thoughts I just wanted to clarify a little bit out of the video that you saw. Other than that, what you have seen is what we really believe the Lord's directing us to do, and you heard the plans that we had, and we just appreciate you praying for us. I appreciate how you said we need your prayers more than we need your money. It really is a blessing to know that God's people are behind this. And even in this trip, I've seen the Lord's hand in our life, specifically getting us here and, Lord willing, getting us home. I have a 6:30 breakfast meeting I'm speaking at Monday morning in Greenville. So as long as that flight that leaves tonight at 9:07 can get delayed as long as it wants to, as long as I get home by 6 o'clock, I should be fine. But Lord willing, that'll all occur. Everything's worked out so beautifully up to this point, and I just really believe the Lord will culminate that. I thought I'd introduce my wife to you. Susie and I are in our 42nd year of marriage. Susie herself is from Ohio, and I'm from Indiana. Although, as you heard, I spent 15 of my first 18 years in Taiwan. We both graduated high school in 1977, met 6 months later in our freshman year at Bob Jones University, dated for 3.5 years, and have been married since 1981. We enjoy motorcycling together. My first licensed vehicle, being in Taiwan, was a motorcycle. So as the saying goes, you can take the boy out of Taiwan, but you can't take Taiwan out of the boy. And so we enjoy doing that on occasions. Also, the Lord's granted us the privilege over these last 7 years, really, to do quite a few mission trips. And we enjoy that doing that together. And then the third, we enjoy snow skiing. Realize there are not too many mountains down here in Florida. But this is a very interesting statistic. She teaches at a mountain in North Carolina. She's done that for 22 years, and it's called Cataloochee. It's in Maggie Valley, North Carolina, and they claim that they are the closest ski slope to Florida. So, how many of you have been up there and skied in North Carolina at all? Yes, sir. Look at you. Cataloochee?
No.
Okay. Yeah, there's several. There's Boone, and there's Wolf Laurel, and some of these others. But yeah, look at you. Yeah. Well, if you haven't been, you have an invitation. She'll be there next winter until we start leaving on these trips, and love to meet you and teach you in that way. I always say she's the artistic one, and I'm the athletic one. I just try to keep up. But she really enjoys doing that. God has gifted us with 4 children who are now married, and we have 12 grandchildren. When you come into a missions conference, when you have anyone speak about missions, when you have anyone talk about, sing about, think about, what's one word or one phrase that you often think of? Go. Yes, ma'am, go. When we think about the New Testament, the first 4 books of the New Testament, the Gospels, Jesus, throughout those 4 books, was often saying, come. Come unto me, all you that are laden with guilt, laden with sin, and I will give you rest. He was often calling his disciples, I want you to come and join me. But then, of course, we know that when he was ascending into heaven, his last words, as you see on the map here, his last words to his disciples were, go. Go into all the world. So, of course, that was a very broad statement to his 12, and it continues throughout these years. All the world, Acts 1:8. We won't go into a huge theological discussion here, but the Greek word for go, I thought at least we could have one word that we walk out of here knowing, and you can say this to each other as you leave. I get to look at my notes here to make sure I say it correctly, though, but I would know this word, porevu. Porevu, go. And let's see how God specifically has encouraged 3 different people in the book of Acts. We'll look at Acts 8, Acts 9, and Acts 10, where he uses this word, porevu, go. Now, of course, depending on which translation you're reading, you might read go, you might read advance, you might mean go forward, but nonetheless, the point is go. It's personal. So let's look now, if you would, in your Bibles at Acts chapter 8. And if you would, go ahead and bring yourself down to verse 26. But in Acts 8, I'll just give a little bit of a talk, discussion, dialogue about that book. So Philip is the man that we're reading about. And he had actually, at one point in time in his life, at one point in time of his ministry, been all the way to Samaria. Now, Samaria is almost 100 miles away from Jerusalem. And in this day and age, you can fly 600 and some miles in less than an hour and 25 minutes. Walking at 4 miles an hour, 15-minute mile, it would take him 25 hours to get that far. Camels, donkeys, caravans, it would be quite a journey for him. Well, he had been in Samaria, and he had been preaching and teaching. And the implication here is that he had influenced and impacted an Ethiopian. Now we get down to verse 26. And here we read, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, porevu, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So he had come to Jesus. Then he had thought, well, I need to come and worship where Jesus is being talked about. Verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, go, porevu, go near, and join thyself to his chariot. And we read, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias. So think about this first setting here. We have this Ethiopian of high-ranking authority who wants to learn about Jesus. And the only way he is going to learn about Jesus is for someone to go and tell him. And here we read that God tells him to go, as in to Philip, to go find this man. But I thought it was really interesting. He tells him to go, but he never told him he's going to meet this Ethiopian. He never said what he was going to do. He just simply said, I want you to go. And right away, Philip says, okay, God told me, go get on this road going south to Gaza. I'm on my way. And then along the way, which is the way the Lord works so many times, isn't it? Along the way, he begins to say, okay, now that you're going, I want you to go speak to this man who's sitting in this chariot. And it says he ran. I thought that is so neat. He was eager to fulfill God's mission. He wasn't just complacent like, oh, brother, I'm talking to people all the time. I don't have enough energy anymore. I had to walk all the way to Samaria. Now I got to walk all the way here to Gaza. No, he runs to him, and then he reads, listen to this, in his humiliation, he's talking about he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And the fella goes, I don't understand this. I wish I had someone that could explain that. And Philip goes, I'm glad you asked. I have come here to talk to you. So Philip here begins explaining to him, and just think about this. He begins explaining to him the entire gospel, which of course starts all the way back in Genesis. And we won't spend the whole time bringing us to that point. But along the way, man was created, man fell, man separated from God, God makes a way to escape. Jesus dies for our sins, and then to show his identification with his Father, he is baptized publicly. Well, along the way, Philip is saying that. The Ethiopian and he are driving in his chariot, and he goes, hey, there's some water. What's keeping me from getting baptized? I mean, he was that willing, this Ethiopian, to do what God had told him to do. And Philip was that willing to say, well, let's just get in the water. Let's fulfill this. His going meant he met a man who needed Jesus, brought him to full clarification and to baptism. And then it's very interesting, at the end of that little section of scripture you read, and then Philip departed. I mean, was gone. God took him away. That was his only time to be there. Until we get to heaven, we probably won't know where Philip ended up coming after he was taken away from this Ethiopian. Might have been back in Jerusalem, might have been back in Samaria. I don't know. But Philip was willing to go. I thought that was a very interesting dynamic. And then, when he has gone, he's gone. Your job's done, Philip. All right, I'll take you somewhere else. Now, if you would, go to chapter 9. We read in chapter 9, and I'll start out reading here, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of his way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So he's heading out to bring these captives. And then, of course, we read, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And, of course, we know the rest of that story. It wasn't the light that blinded him, because he had two other men with him. It was God blinding him and saying, you know what? You have gone far enough. You think you're serving me by killing my people, but I'm not going to let you do that anymore. So he blinds him. These friends of him take him to Damascus and put him in a room. Now, to Saul, he couldn't see anything. So I can't say it was light room or a dark room, but it was a room. To him, it was dark. And he sits there for 3 days. Verse 10, and there was a certain disciple. Remember verse 1? Saul is seeking disciples to kill them. Verse 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, here I am. And the Lord said unto him, Porevu, arise and go and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Can you imagine what Ananias' first thought was? Verse 1, Saul breathing out threatenings against the disciples. Ananias, verse 10, a disciple of the Lord. I'm going to go into Saul's presence, and you want me to help him? And yet, what does he do?
he says here specifically, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him. So Saul, who had been blinded, knew that someone was going to come help him. Ananias answers and said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. Like, Lord, I think there's someone else you should be sending. Verse 14, and there he hath authority from the chief priests to blind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go, Poreivu, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. So what does Ananias do? He does exactly what God told him to do. He went. Ananias, you read, he departed and went and laid his hand on him, and immediately Saul could see. And you can imagine, if you put yourselves into Ananias' shoes, yeah, God might have told me to come here, and he might have had a vision that I was coming, and he might say that he's really going to worship God, but how did he used to worship God? He killed people like me. But his eyes open, we then read further that the people were astonished. That wasn't this the man who was persecuting them? Later, he goes back to Jerusalem, and the disciples wanted to bring him specifically closer to his relationship with God. The command was to go. He did, and look at the result. If you think about it, of course, God would not have let this happen. He would have done it his way. But here Saul becomes Paul and wrote so much of the New Testament. He knew his persecution. He knew who he persecuted. Then he knew how God stopped him from that. And now I need to go help him. So we have go, go. And then the third one is in chapter 10. If you want to jump then to chapter 10, this is a very lengthy passage. I won't read the whole thing. Kind of do like I've done before. But I love to put the context out for us to see how these people responded. There was a certain man in Caesarea now called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Notice it says he was a devout man. Well, think about a centurion. That would not have been a Jew. That would have been, more than likely, you could say a Greek or a Roman. Someone who had grown up in the way of carnality and sin, and yet he had been impacted by the gospel. He had come to Jesus, but he wanted to follow him. He sees in a vision, verse 3, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming and saying, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it? Thy prayer and thine alms are come up for a memorial for God. And now, he says, verse 5, send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose name is Peter. So here he's having to go to speak to a Jew. To them, that is really hard. Of course, you know what Jesus says. I'm supposed to love others like I love me. I'm supposed to love others like Christ loved me. And yet, in that whole context, here we see the matter that Cornelius is doubting. But so too was, in this case here, you could say Peter. Verse 13, all these four-footed beasts, verse 14, Peter says to the Lord, no, I'm not supposed to eat things that are unclean. I'm not supposed to have this kind of meat. And what does the voice say? What God hath cleansed, don't call it common. What he's wanting Peter to now do is go speak to the centurion. A Jew speaking to a Greek or a Roman, you could have said, well, maybe that's unclean. I'm just supposed to evangelize all the Jews. And Jesus said, wait, I came to die for both. And so you read on, if you read on the whole chapter there, you see that he specifically is telling him to go. So here, Peter sees this vision that there's this clean and this unclean. And God's saying, if I said it was clean, it's clean. So what does he do? He goes to verse 20. We read again that the Lord says, arise and go down. And so, of course, Peter goes down, goes to Cornelius, and explains that God says, what you need is the God of heaven, the God that's going to worship, that you're going to worship. Verse 44 goes on and says that the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles and many are converted. The centurion's whole process here, this Cornelius result, was for him to come to Jesus. In each case, these men went without knowing of their exact ministry outcome, But notice, if they wouldn't have gone, there would have been no promotion of God and his word in his way. Go, verse 8, chapter 8, go in verse 9, and go in verse 10. Now, what does that mean for us? We love to know people are going. We love to know that there are people serving. And we can at times almost perhaps be a little like, well, I'm not called. I'm not going to Hong Kong. I'm not going to Japan. I'm not going to... So how do I go? Well, the first thing we need to remember and realize is when God says go, we don't have to know what the cost is. We don't have to know exactly what our role is going to be. I don't know. I mean, you want me to go talk to that person? Well, let me evaluate that a little bit. Let me think about that a while. No, don't know what the cost is. I don't know what your role is. I must be willing to go. I mean, how many times have we heard, I must go, and then I'm so glad he's going? And I'm not talking about the mission field here, as far as a country mission field. I'm talking about, in just a second, I'm going to show a few more ideas, but I must trust God in all things. So let's think about that for a moment. You go to work on a regular basis. That is a mission field that you have that I do not have. It's a mission field that you do not have. You have made acquaintances. You have made friends. You have noted people who have undoubtedly said, how can you be happy during 2020? How can you be happy when things are going tough in your family? Well, I'm glad you asked. And that gives you a platform that none of us have. You have your credentials. You have your abilities. I would encourage you to consider that a fabulous mission field. You have neighbors that you have great impact on. I know you don't have to shovel their snow, but you can mow their lawn, rake their leaves, be nice to them when they get out of their car, encourage them, any projects you want on Saturday, can I help you with? Plate of cookies, whatever. You have an inroads with those neighbors that I don't have, that none of the rest of us have, except those that live in that neighborhood. So let me encourage you to use that as a great mission field. Your family. Many of you have families that have at least one individual, if not many, who aren't very close to Jesus. That is a wonderful mission field. You have the same last name, or you're related to their wife, or their husband, or their son, or their daughter. And you can impact them in a great way. I often think in our lives, we're always, every time we come in contact with someone, we're supposed to help them come closer to Jesus. If they don't know him, in my testimony, I help them get one step closer. Remember, some plant, some water, God gets the increase. Or then secondly, the believers that you come in contact with, some have backslidden, some have strayed, some have intentionally redirected their thoughts. Help them become closer to Jesus. And then finally, you have the privilege of discipling your children. That can seem like so much work. But what a thought. Your disciple is 2 months old. Your disciple is 6 months old. Your disciple is now 10. Your disciple is now 12. You're helping them come closer to Jesus. When you think of missions, you think of going. I would encourage us all today to realize and be refreshed in where can I go? What can I do to impact someone else to be closer to Jesus as a result of my life? I found this little statement. They actually misspelled a word, so don't get caught up in that. But it says, God is faithful. But it says, God is not faithful to fulfill your calling. You need to be faithful to fulfill your calling. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. We heard it in the little presentation. But faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. If he has a plan for you, he will give you the strength to do it. He will give you the encouragement to do it. He'll give you the fortitude to do it. And he will be with you all the way. Lord bless you as you continue to faithfully serve him here or there in your various mission fields. Pastor, thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Layman. just a moment, we're going to close our service this morning by singing 398, if you want to find it in your hymn book. It's called Follow On. And the Lord isn't asking us to go anywhere He hasn't gone. He left heaven to come to earth in order to save our souls, in order to do what for humanity what we could not do for ourselves. His Father asked Him to go, and He left. He came, and He died for us on the cross. And He said, as the Father has sent Me, so what? Send I you. And the Lord has sent us. When I was thinking about, while He was preaching, a couple things popped into my mind. You don't have to know the cost, and you don't have to know, what was that second thing? All right, no, I got it right here on your, yeah, here we go. Yeah, you don't have to know your responsibilities. I was a junior in high school, and I was at camp, and somebody preached a message on full-time service, and I just could not get away from that message. Two messages that I remember. I don't remember the messages. I just remember what God did during the messages. The one was when I was 9 years old and I trusted Christ as Savior. The other one was when I was a junior in high school at camp, and He asked all those to come forward, and I wasn't one to come forward just for the sake of it, you know, and who felt the Lord calling them into full-time Christian service. And that night, I just couldn't get away from it, and I went forward and I said, Lord, I believe this is what You want. And then I argued with Him for the next 3.5 years on what that meant. Because certainly, I who was scared to death to be up in front of people could never get up in front of people and preach or teach or be a pastor or a missionary or anything like that. But you know, the Lord knows what He's doing. And the Lord isn't going to ask you to do anything that He won't be there to help you do. He calls us to go to our neighbors, to our co-workers, to the other side of the world. He is sending us, and He will go with us, and He will help us. What does He need? He needs us to trust Him and to be willing to what? And to be willing to go. And I don't know who the Lord may ask you to go to this week or next, or where He may ask you to go. I certainly wasn't looking to come to Georgia when I graduated from college, and I certainly wasn't planning to come to Florida when I left Georgia. I wanted to go back towards Virginia, where I'm from. But the Lord's will is perfect, and we just need to trust in Him. And so the Lord may be calling you today, maybe put someone or some place or some calling on your heart. Don't push Him. Don't push Him away. Respond. Follow Him. Let Him have His way in your life and in your heart today. So if you stand with me and let's sing together, 398, Follow On. The Lord spoke to your heart. You don't have to sing. You can just pray, or I'll meet you up here if you want me to pray with you. Thank you. Amen. Three, please, before you leave this morning. Number one, don't forget about the love offering for the missionaries who have come some quite a distance to be with us. Secondly, stop by and look at their displays. Take a prayer card that you might be reminded to pray for them or chat with them a minute before you go. Number three, come back tonight at 6 o'clock, and you'll get to hear about Brother Pierre's ministry and what the Lord has laid upon his heart. Brother Harry Poole, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer? Amen.